These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures, what's the word?
Daily,
whether those things were so. Set the scene here. Paul is at Berea. He is saying that these Bereans were more noble than another group of believers over in Thessalonica. So I want you to get in your mind right now that there is nobility among believers. The question is, are you of nobility? Search the scriptures, they said. Receive the scriptures, first of all. Search the scriptures whether the things that the preacher said was true. It is your responsibility every time you listen to someone teaching the Bible to search what he said from the scripture. And if you're not doing that, then you're not a noble Berean. So your nobility is based upon the fact whether or not you really study or not. Now I want you to continue in Acts chapter 17. Let's go over to verse 19. And they took him and brought him into Areopagus, saying, may we know what this, two words, what are they? New doctrine whereof thou speakest of. So what we see here is that Paul is teaching something to a group of people and they declare it as a new doctrine. What is this? That's the subject from this point on through Paul's ministry and what he is going to be faced with everywhere he goes. So this new doctrine, jump down to verse 20. For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know therefore what these things mean. For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else, but either to tell or to hear some new thing. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. Paul is presenting to these people who have all kinds of statues of gods lined up on the hill, and this one statue to an unknown God. Paul says, that's the one I'm going to tell you about. That's the one you need to know about. That's the one that's going to save you. So I'm teaching to you, he says, this unknown God. Now put up here on the board something that have been around a long time, know something about. What do we call this? These passages, these books over here. They're the pre-prison epistle. Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, 1st, 2nd Thessalonians. Then there's what are these? Post-prison. Then I put up here this wall in between them. There's a middle wall partition between Gentile and Gentile. But folks, there's a middle wall of partition between these books. Okay, so we need to clearly understand those books and what they say. So I'm going to address the books on the left side over there. I want you to turn to Romans chapter 4. In Romans chapter 4, verse 2. For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Abraham didn't believe about God. He didn't believe in God. He believed God. And folks, it comes down to, do you believe God? This book is the Word of God. A King James Bible is the Word of God. So, do you really believe God or not? That's the question. Look at verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jew and Gentiles that they are all under sin. Huh? Oh, good gosh. Excuse me. I should be in 4. That was a good verse, too. Anyway. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of righteousness of the faith which he hath yet uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe. Folks, they're talking about signs in here, right? What's the purpose of signs? Purpose of sign. Come on. We're teaching today. We're not preaching. Come on. What's the purpose of signs? It's for the Jew. What for? So that they would believe. What were they supposed to believe? What was the signs that were forthcoming supposed to be? To point to what? Christ, right? You should know by the signs that Messiah has come. The Jews require what? And the Greeks seek after. But we what? The power of God, right? Huh? So what? Signs. That's part of this over here. So Paul is dealing in this group of letters with people that are still looking for signs. All right? Now go to Romans chapter 8. We'll start with verse 1. There's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Do you know what that verse talks about? You know what it's talking about? It's two groups of people. What are they? Those are all good questions, all good answers. But it's really talking about the lost and the saved, isn't it? Alright? So we're talking about people that are lost or people that are saved. If you're lost, you're in the flesh. If you're saved, you're in the Spirit. For by one Spirit are you baptized into Christ Jesus, right? So then, Spirit. Verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and death. Does that mean that we don't sin anymore? You know, there's some people in this world that think that once you get the Holy Ghost, you can't sin. And there are some other people who don't believe that the Holy Ghost thing still think you can't sin. It's wrong. You still got something in you until you die, called an old nature, an old man that's there, and you're going to sin. But guess what? You're still saved. But there would be some out there that say that if you sin, you must not be saved. How dumb can that be? Huh? And you think that there might be some grace, so-called grace teachers that are teaching that? Yes, they are. And you need to understand that it's wrong. Verse 3, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Nobility. People who are saved and are noble endeavor to walk in the Spirit. How noble are you? Chapter 16, verse 25. Now to him that is power to, what's the word? What does that mean? Stabilize, to establish you. What? According to my gospel. What's my gospel? Christ died for my sins, was buried, and rose again the third day for my justification. That's the gospel Paul preached. That's what's going to save you, believing in the faith of Christ. Are you saved? You're not if you hadn't believed the gospel according to what Paul preached. You can believe in Jesus. You can believe in Christmas. You can believe in Easter and still be lost. You see, You must trust yourself that Christ died for your sin, that he was buried for your sins. He was raised so that you could be justified those sins that you've committed now and forever. That's the gospel that saves. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto these, I love these two words, dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. What are there? Bunch of gifts over here. There's not going to be a bunch over here. So there's a wall between gifts and non-gifts. If you don't understand rightly dividing, the middle wall partition is something entirely different, but there's still a wall, folks, that we need to look at and see between these and these. This is part of it that we're looking at right now. Jump down to verse 27. And God hath set some in the church. First, apostles. Secondarily, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. After that, miracles. Then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Question mark. Are all prophets? Question mark. Are all teachers? Question mark. Have all the gifts of healing, question mark. Do all speak with tongues, question mark. Do all interpret, question mark. But covet earnestly the best gifts. And yet I show I unto you a more excellent way. What is he saying? Not everybody does all those things. You know what he said? That's what the question mark is all about. Not everybody does all of those things. But even those things, there's something more excellent. Hey, you know this thing about tongues and the problem that exists out there with that issue is that here in chapter 12 and then over in chapter 14, it talks about those things. But right square dab in the middle is chapter 13. And Paul is saying, I'll show you a more excellent way. Here we go. Chapter 13, verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. This charity here is the Greek word agape, which is love, but it's a deeper love than the other four Greek words for love. And this is the love of Christ, who willingly came to the cross to die for your sins. He willingly left his home in glory with the Father to die for your sins. That's the kind of love that you must exemplify as believers. And if you don't, you're not nobility. Let's go down to verse 9. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even also as I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. Those of you whom I have married. Let me see. Those of you that I married. A bunch. You remember this passage of scripture, folks? What'd we say? But there's hope, faith. Without faith, what? It's impossible to please God, isn't it? Without hope of eternal life, what was it we're doing, right? And besides all of that, the greatest thing is charity. The two are so important, but the third separates nobility from the serfs. There's a difference. Are you? Chapter 14, verse 1. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but... How many times have I taught you, but means what? Watch out. What about the ifs, the buts, the ands, right? It's the little words, but what? Rather that you may prophesy. The only use for spiritual gifts, folks, was prophesy. That wasn't prophetic thinking, but what? Teaching. Simple teaching. The truth, rightly dividing. So, all of those spiritual gifts, even when they were existent, and they aren't now, and I'm going to show you that in just a moment. Verse 2, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth, teaches, speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. You're going around speaking in some tongue, it's just God. It's listening to, which is not bad. But what good is it doing someone else? You see, most people think that when they speak in tongues, that they have an advanced degree of spirituality. Not what this Bible says, is it? But that's over here on this side. Even when it was operative, or some things going on, it was for a purpose. Paul says, that he might win his Jewish friends over. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You see, we're going through Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. We're trying to see what there is in a division, in a wall that's going on. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 11. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe and therefore have I spoken, we also believe and therefore speak. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus and shall present us, what? With you. What's he talking about? We have the same spirit of faith, but there's something different. I just want to take that little part about you. We have the same spirit of faith. But some different. Go to Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. The book of Galatians is a unique book as far as Paul is concerned. It's the one group, one letter that he wrote that he didn't say something that he said to the others. Have any idea what it is? Grace be unto you and peace, he usually says. He didn't call them faithful. Let me tell you why. The Galatians committed the worst of all the groups of people that Paul visited. You know what it was? Look at verse 6. Verse 6. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto, what's the word? Another gospel, which is not, what's the word? Another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel. There are two words there in the Greek for another. In verse number 6, another is the word heteros, which means different or altered. He said, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you to an altered gospel. What do we do when we alter something? Change it up. Hey, if it's good enough for God, why isn't it good for the rest of the folks? It should be unaltered, right? And then he says in verse 7, which is not another, which he says, which is not the same kind that I talked to you about. It's not the same kind, but there be some that the word trouble you. That word trouble there has a meaning of agitate. Now, my niece Diane, which you know, and her daughter used to say, "Poppy, you aggravate me." So it was agitating or aggravating. It trouble you. They're aggravating you. And would pervert the gospel of Christ. Though we are an angel from heaven preaching any of the gospel to you, that which we have preached to you, let him be accursed. And say, as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any of the gospel unto you, that which you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. It's not my job. It's not Mark's job to please you. It's Mark's job and my job to teach the word. I don't care how much you're pleased. As a matter of fact, most of you have been totally aggravated with me a lot of time. And to say I don't care would be wrong, but I don't care. You get what I'm saying? It's not going to change or alter what I teach to get your praise. I don't want your praise. I want you to learn about Christ. I want you to learn about the person who came down from heaven to save you. That's what this book's about. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be made. If you have an NIV, that word of Christ is changed to in. Is there a difference between in and of? A big difference. So that's one of the reasons why the King James Bible can be trusted and others cannot. That's the biggest difference. You can't get saved by your faith in Christ. You've got to have faith in Christ, but it's His faith that saves you. Verse 20. Can you quote it? Look up here. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life that I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Great passage of scripture. You ought to have it memorized. Paul is saying, you turned, Galatians, from this truth and went right back into the law, believing that the law was necessary. Oh, the people said, oh, you know, it's okay to believe that, but you still got to go offer sacrifices. Do this, do that. You know any churches today that put people under the law? We can name how many. Bunches, right? All kinds of denominations to put you under the law. Oh, but I don't like you talking bad about denomination. Well, I don't care what you like. Simple fact is, they do. And do you want to know the truth? Okay, folks, let me see if you are nobility. When I stop, you tell me the word. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall... Uh-oh, who said set? Raise your hand. Not nobility. What does it say? Make you free. Is there a difference? I go down to the jail and march down there, and I slip up at night and unlock the door, and we slip out the door, and he's set free. They catch him the next day and put him back in jail. But I go down there and prove that he's innocent, and the judge, by decree, makes him free. He walks out the door. They can't put him back in jail. There's a difference. Are you noble or not? Or are you listening to the quote and you remembered it from way back when? Change. Paul said, you not change because this is what the truth is. Chapter 3, Galatians, verse 11. But that no man is, what's the word? By what? In the sight of God is evident. For the just shall live by faith. You know where that comes from? What? Is it Hosea? Habakkuk. And it says over there in Habakkuk, the just shall live by his faith. Whose faith? Christ. Wow. Nobility. But know that. You're not going to like me after I leave here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Verse 10. Tell you a story about the Thessalonians. Paul loved these Thessalonians. But the Bereans were more noble. But he loved these Thessalonians. They had a concern that after they died, what was going to happen? Or once we die, what's going to happen to those who are left? If we look on a time chart, and this is the beginning of time, here's the age of grace, and over here's the 7 years of tribulation, here's the 1,000 years. This 7 years is known as a period of wrath. Portion of that. So in verse 10 of chapter 1, and to wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us, what? He's telling these Thessalonians, don't worry about living or dying, because you're all going to escape this. So what that's saying is that the rapture is going to occur prior to that happening. How many people are scared to death about the book of Tribulation, of Revelation, of the Tribulation? I'm scared to death. I don't want to go to Revelation. Why are you scared? Because you're dead in Christ anyway. You'd be scared at all. Did we have a passage that said you're hid in Christ? Right. Where is he? Don't worry. That's what Paul is saying. Chapter 2, verse 9. For you remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for labor night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. Okay, nobility. What is the gospel of God? Keep quiet. Okay. Anybody else? Got something else? What did Paul first start preaching? Preach the gospel of God and the gospel of Christ. The gospel of God is Jesus Christ is the Son of God, but you can't preach Jesus Christ the Son of God without preaching Christ died for your sins, which is the gospel of Christ. Right? He preached them that. He said, there's going to be some Jews coming around here. They're going to tell you that he ain't the Christ. Right? Why? Because every time Paul went somewhere, that's what they did. Paul is saying, the Messiah has come, Jews. He is the Savior. Believe it. They're going to come and say, oh, he ain't come yet. But he has. So Paul is still over here in these books doing what? Preaching so that some of his Jewish brethren might be saved. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verses 3 through 8 are some confusing passages of Scripture if you don't understand right division. Let no man deceive you, verse 3, by any means. For that day, what do you think that day is about? Shall not come, except there be a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Man of sin, Satan, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Man, there's a bunch of he's in there who we're talking about. And then shall the wicked be revealed. He, the first he in verse 7, the religious system. The second he is what? The church, the body of Christ. I don't have enough time because I got to finish here. But I gave you enough thought, you know, you think about it. So we go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. Wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision of the flesh made by hand, that at that time past, ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world, but now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ, for he is our peace who hath broken, hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandment contained in the ordinances to make himself twain one new man, so making peace. Chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Folks, before God drew out Abraham and he became the beginning of the nation of Israel, God chose way back here before the beginning of time a group of people, the body of Christ, who we are part of before he ever chose Abraham. So who's the elect? According to the Bible, the elect spoken of is Jews. And it's also of us. But we were before. God had conceived in his mind before the foundation of the world, the body of Christ. He had already, before Paul was ever born in his mother's womb, he had marked him as the apostle of the Gentiles. And look at verse 12. Ephesians 1. That we should be the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. There's a group of people over here who first trusted. They happen to be Jews and Gentiles. And then it goes on to say, and ye also trusted. And those groups of people are Gentiles. There's a middle wall separating those who first trusted and those who later trusted. And that's what chapter 2, verse 11 through 14 is about. There were a group of people over here that had no hope of being saved. Because over in Genesis chapter 12, God tells Abraham, I'm going to bless him who blesses you and curse him who curses you. And there were a lot of people over here, Gentiles, who hated Israel. They couldn't be saved. They were without hope. That's what it says. Without hope. How were they? They were without Christ. They were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise made unto Abraham. Goes all the way back. Strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God. You know, if you have no hope today, you're not saved. That's what salvation is all about. It's not hope I'm going to get to heaven. It's the hope that I know awaits me in heaven. I could go on to Philippians, Colossians. And I'm going to go to Colossians, chapter 1. I've got to jump in here somewhere. I'm just going to go to 25. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given me to me for you to, what's the word? Fulfill what?
The word of God.
What does that mean, fulfill? Is the word of God finished? According to Paul.
Yeah.
And you know what? That perfect over there, that which perfect is to come. A lot of people say it's Christ. But I'm going to say, well, maybe it might be the perfect man that we become once we reach the state of nobility. Be noble.